Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
The inside of your house is filling up with water. Outside, it's 10 degrees. What are you thinking?
I think I'm going to die now. Freezing, cold. I really did.
After the energy disaster in Texas that left millions across the state without power for days, the push to find the specific weak points in the grid and bring consequences to those responsible has been nearly unanimous.
We've seen certainly consequences at the state level. There have been hearings that have been convened by the Texas state legislature.
I've been telling my constituents, this is like a plane crash. It wasn't one thing that went wrong that led to this plane crash. It was lots of things that went wrong that are all interconnected.
We've seen members of the grid operator, what's known as ERCOT, resign.
Our other breaking story, five board members for the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, also known as ERCOT, have resigned.
ERCOT's board just voted to terminate CEO Bill Magnus.
It's the latest domino to fall from a winter storm that left millions of Texans shivering in the dark for days.
And Congress has started to step in too. There have been a couple of investigations that have launched on the House side. We're expecting hearings to begin shortly. So yeah, the consequences have been pretty sweeping and they've been pretty quick.
That's Politico Energy host and Congress Energy reporter Anthony Adraka. And he says that when it comes to agreeing on who should be getting answers from Texas officials, and most importantly, who should be finding solutions, that's about where the consensus ends.
Texas Democrats, Texas Republicans are of different minds about this. There's a lot of feeling among Democrats that Republicans who've had, you know, unified control of the state for quite a period of time now, they failed to heed the warnings from a similar storm that happened in 2011. They didn't take steps to winterize the grid.
A rude awakening, literally, for media, players, and fans at the Super Bowl here in Arlington, Texas. The temperature about 20 degrees. Mix that with 30 mile per hour winds, rain, and a little bit of snow, and you have an ugly day. Certainly not the Chamber of Commerce weather the Super Bowl host committee had been hoping for.
Republicans are saying, look, this was unacceptable. We need to look at potential measures to winterize our grid, but we're not doing anything to integrate with the federal government. And they're saying to the federal government, hands off, leave Texas alone. We can handle it ourselves.
I'm Carlos Prieto. This is Politico Energy. And today, the battle over the role of the federal government on the Texas power grid. It's Monday, March 8th. So, Anthony, in the days since these outages and the disaster in Texas, two committees in the House said they're opening investigations and want to look into the issue. Who do they want to hear from?
So that's right. It's both the House Oversight Committee and the House Energy and Commerce Committee that have sent letters kicking off these investigations. Their questions are, again, going to ERCOT, which is the operator. And they're seeking a whole host of documents. They want to know what, if anything, was done after 2011 to make the grid more resilient. They're looking for more information about the steps that were taken in the immediate aftermath of these outages. I think they want to know how bad things potentially could have gotten. We've already heard that we were mere minutes away from a months-long outage. So they're really demanding answers. And something I heard repeatedly in my conversations with Representative Lizzie Fletcher.
I, like so many of my constituents, I was out of power starting on Monday. We lost water too in Houston. We've been in crisis mode.
Is that this was a matter of life and death, and they really are anxious to take steps and to understand what happened and to make sure that incidents like this don't happen again.
Right. And to be clear, this isn't just Democrats who are trying to get answers, right? I have to assume that Texas Republicans are trying to get to the bottom of what's going on.
Well, it's not as cut and dry as you'd think. I think Texas Republicans clearly want answers. But a couple of the Texas Republicans that I spoke to seem to think that it should be left to the state legislature. The state legislature is capable of investigating what happened here. They can get answers and they can figure out what steps need to be taken to ensure that this doesn't happen.
In Washington, I'm not going to be a proponent of, and in fact, I will oppose any efforts in Washington to try to fold Texas under FERC and to try to go extend Washington's regulatory environment into Texas. We have a strong grid that delivers abundant energy most of the time that's very affordable.
Texas Democrats seem to think that there's obviously a role for Congress and Congress should be leading. in trying to get some of those answers, noting that the Texas legislature didn't adequately implement the recommendations after the 2011 incident.
This is largely an issue with our state government, but what we've seen is that our state government failed over the last decade to respond to the last time. And what I hear, at least from my constituents, is just a need to fundamentally rethink, at least reassess how we're doing what we're doing.
You know, as we all know, Texas is fiercely independent, and they've maintained this status as being, you know, they have their own grid, and they are fiercely protective of that. And I think something we've heard to varying degrees is that they'd like to see that status quo preserved. They don't want the federal government stepping in, getting its hands on the Texas grid.
Which is really interesting, because we heard from our colleague Rena Rasim in El Paso, who didn't lose power because her city was connected to the Western grid. And you would think that evaluating whether or not Texas needs to stay as an independent grid would be one of the things to bring into question. So if that's not what Texas Republican lawmakers want, are they proposing any other solutions?
I think it's still a little too early to see what they think needs to happen. I think there's probably going to be, you know, recognition that there's the need to weatherize the grid and winterize the grid to make sure that it's more resilient. But I think Republicans seem to think that can be done at the state level. They're obviously wary of passing along the costs of that to ratepayers. But so I think that's probably where Republicans are going to want the solution set to look like. To your point about El Paso, I spoke to Congressman Henry Cuellar, and he noted the same thing. He said, you know, El Paso didn't lose power because it was connected to this other grid. What he would like to have happen is for Texas to retain some degree of independence, but as he said, to let neighbors be neighbors.
And if a neighbor wants to help, you know, the Eastern Connect or the Western Connect is to allow us to do that.
And so to figure out a way that Texas could get power either from other U.S. grids, or he brought up the possibility of actually working with Mexico and getting power sharing when there are these incidents so that, you know, more people don't drop out. I think Texas Democrats, they see real opportunity in Joe Biden's Build Back Better agenda. We're already expecting that to include really significant infrastructure investments. And so we'll see, as that package comes together over the coming weeks and months, if those ideas catch on. Also, over the weekend, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer took a key step toward confirming President Joe Biden's nominee to lead the EPA.
Next week, as I just put on the calendar, Merrick Garland, Marcia Fudge, and the EPA.
Shortly after a marathon voting session on the massive COVID relief package, Leader Schumer filed cloture on Michael Regan's nomination, setting up a final confirmation vote most likely for late this week. And according to Leader Schumer, the vote to confirm Biden's pick for Interior is also in the pipeline.
And then later in the week, we'll do Haaland and another nominee.
On Saturday, he said that a final confirmation vote for Deb Haaland is also expected this week, sometime after Regan is confirmed.
I'm proud of my caucus. I truly love my caucus, every one of them.
For your Joe Manchin?
Yes, absolutely. Everyone. I love Bernie.
For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. If you like our show, then like it. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It helps more people find the show. I'm Anthony Adragna. Talk to you again tomorrow.
Last year, Chevron invested billions of dollars to bring affordable, reliable, ever cleaner energy to America. Because it's only human to work toward a brighter future. Learn more at chevron.com.